We are in a study in Mark chapter 8 this morning. If you've got a pew Bible, it's page 843, but we are almost halfway home. We're starting about the halfway point of the book here in the Gospel of Mark, as Jesus has been asserting who He is and why He came and what His call upon us is. We have the privilege of seeing the identity, mission, and call of the Savior before us this morning in the feeding of the 4,000 and in His rebuke to those who would not follow and even to those who were following. And so if you will, turn with me there to page 843. Actually, we're going to read just the last few verses and pick the rest of the text up in the sermon. So you may want to turn over to page 844, but pray with me. Let's consider God's Word together. Our Father in heaven, how we delight to draw near as You have drawn near to us. Our hope is built on nothing else, O Father, before You, except Jesus, His perfect death, and His perfect righteousness. He is our glory. Would You help us, Father, to look to Jesus, even as He looks after us. Draw us near, we ask, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. If you will, hear these words from the Gospel of Mark. Jesus' questions this morning, from verse 17 through 21. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, "Why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? And do you not remember when I broke the 5 loaves for the 5,000? How many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to Him, 12. "And the 7 for the 4,000, how many baskets of broken pieces did you take up?" And they said to Him, 7. And He said to them, "Do you not understand?" How's your understanding this morning? How have you walked with Jesus this week? Have you understood everything that He was doing in your life? Or have you forgotten Him during this week? Maybe it's been months since you've been to church. Have you forgotten Jesus over the past months? Maybe it's been hours and days since you've even asked such a question, but is Jesus ever on your mind? Are you remembering Him? Do you understand? Jesus is all about understanding. Understanding who He is and what He's doing, but we are prone to forget. One of the great challenges in the Christian life is that we suffer from memory loss, don't we? Memory loss of the great things that God has done. Memory loss of the great things that God is doing in our midst. Memory loss of who's in charge when we want to be in charge. We need to remember, to perceive, to understand. We need spiritual discernment. But we wrestle again and again to keep our eyes on Jesus, and we wrestle again and again with forgetting. We struggle with that memory that is a constant reminder of His goodness. You ever forget? I mean, just forget. And for 10 days before this week, earlier in the week, for 10 days I had been looking for a green notebook. Anybody found a green notebook? The reason I kept looking is that this green notebook had some vital information in it that I needed for our family. And so every day for 10 days, I kept looking for this green notebook. And I tried to retrace my steps. When you lose your mind, when you lose your memory, what do you try to do? Don't you try to trace your steps? Now, what was I doing? Where was I when I last saw that? Come on, come on. You know, if I'd remembered, I wouldn't be lost, right? And so for 10 days, I kept looking for this book, mainly because it had some information that I needed. It was important. And so I kept looking and looking and looking. And then one day, one of my kids had memory loss too. They lost their shoes. And so everybody was looking for their shoes. And while I was looking for their shoes, I found my green notebook. And then all of a sudden, my memory returned. All of a sudden, I remembered what had happened. This particular kid who had lost his shoes had also lost my green notebook. We were walking in the house from the car, and I had loaded everybody up with something to carry in, and he got the backpack that I had forgotten I had put the green notebook in, and he had taken the green backpack in instead of putting it on the hearth like I had asked him. He put it under his bed. And so 10 days later, I found my green notebook. It took another hour to find his shoes, but we found those too. You know, that's the way it goes with memory loss. There are times when we know there is something we need. If we could just recall that truth or that event, there's sometimes when we lose a name and we're talking to that person or we have a fact in the back of our head that we can't quite recall. You ever struggle with that? Well, maybe I just struggle more than some of you struggle. But that's not just in life. That's in the Christian life. It's not just in daily events. It's spiritual life as well. We struggle to remember. We are prone to forget. You know, the psalmist says it this way. Forget not all His benefits. Now, I would be willing to wager with you this morning that many of the things you have struggled with this week, many of the heartaches and hurts and challenges that have been before you have really been a struggle of memory, of remembering, of understanding, a failure in forgetting the God who is your God. See, we are prone to forget. We struggle in our brokenness and our fallenness with the constant need of reminding our hearts and the hearts of those we love of the goodness of God. Do you ever forget the goodness of God? Do you ever fear that He won't be there to help you? Have you forgotten who God says He is and how God abundantly supplies? The disciples of Jesus struggled with forgetful minds. And we can take heart in that this morning because while Jesus will chastise them, He will comfort them as well. And if you are a disciple of Jesus this morning, there are going to be times when you struggle with redemptive memory, with biblical understanding, with gospel goodness. There will be times when you struggle like the disciples here struggle in our passage in Mark chapter 8. You know, Jesus here feeds the 4,000. And many scholars of the Bible, those who are dumb, they come and they say, well, why is this here? Because, you know, He just fed the 5,000 a couple of chapters ago. It must be an error in the text. You know, those scholars, they just underestimate how much Jesus has to repeat Himself to us. One of the things you need to learn, beloved, is that the constant work of Jesus in your life, in your heart, is to repeat Himself because you are so prone to take Him for granted or forget Him altogether. You are so prone to miss the mark in seeing the goodness of God before you. Now, I realize there are some of you who are asking that question for the first time. Where does God exist and why does God exist and why do I need God anyway? For the believer, life revolves around God and Jesus' goodness to us. It revolves around one who has given His life for ours, who took up death in our place that we might have relationship with God. But we too, you know, if you are seeking the truth of God this morning, if you're wrestling with how unbelievers fail to represent Jesus well, I will tell you why that is. If you're wrestling with that, it's because believers constantly forget who they belong to. And yet, believer, you constantly need to be reminded of who you belong to. Jesus is good to remind us. He knows we forget. He knows we need to be jarred and cajoled and encouraged and pressed on to follow Him. And so I am asking you this morning to do what I believe the text is asking you to do this morning. Continually look to Jesus, because He will continually look out for you. Continually look to Jesus, because He will continually look out for you. Don't forget it. Jesus is dealing with the understanding, the memory loss of His disciples this morning. And you can see that in the first place this morning as we understand Jesus' tender-hearted provision. Constantly, we as a people need to discern God's tender-hearted provision for us. God's good to provide for His people. Now, this text, it runs this way. The movement of the text runs from no bread to one bread, to the bread of life. No bread, one bread, bread of life. And you will get in this text compassion, confrontation, and ultimately Jesus' care for us. But God wants you to get this. You need the bread of life. And whenever Jesus is supplying the need, a physical need of people, it's to show them a spiritual need of the bread of life, who is Jesus Himself. And notice, Jesus has been teaching here. And the people get hungry. Verse 1. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, He called the disciples to Him and said to them, I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me for 3 days now, and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away. And His disciples answered, how can one feed these people with the bread here in this desolate place? And He asked them, how many loaves do you have? And they said, 7. And He directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And He took the 7 loaves and gave thanks. He broke them and gave them to the disciples and set them before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish. And having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up of the broken pieces left over 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people. And He sent them away. And immediately He got into a boat with His disciples and went to the district of Dalmanutha. Here you've got Jesus, His discernment of the need of the people and in His tender-hearted provision. He's filling the gaps. You see, you've got a group of people who've been following Jesus around. I mean, these people are more committed to be near Jesus than a treasure hunter around Best Buy on Thanksgiving Day waiting for the treasure to come. 3 days they have been following Jesus. They have been listening to Jesus. And now Jesus realizes they're famished. Their supplies are depleted. They're physically fatigued. And Jesus looks to His disciples and He says, I've got compassion on these people. Jesus begins to fill the gaps. You know, Jesus is always doing that for us. God is good to meet our need when we truly have a need. You know, we've got limits to what we can do, what we can accomplish, how we can move forward, but Jesus doesn't have limits. His abilities exceed ours again and again. Our small resources are never limiting Jesus' fuller resources. And we aren't to take Him for granted. But we need to see He is a compassionate God who meets us at our point of need. And sometimes God can be taken for granted, like the young man who was in the store with his father, and he had desired a computer. He and his dad had decided on a price before they got to the store of how much they would spend on a computer. And when they got in looking at all the computers with all the bells and whistles, the son set his heart on a computer that was about $1,500 more than dad had set his heart on it. And so he began to say, "Dad, we've got the money. Dad, we can take care of it. This is the computer. It's the one I want." To which the dad said, "You don't have the money. I have the money. And it's not yours." You know, what was the point the dad was making? He was making the point that he was being taken for granted. There are times when we take God for granted and we expect that God will do whatever we want. But just as often, and maybe more often, we fail to remember how good God is. How he does take care of his people. 4,000? I mean, the disciples should have known that's no problem for Jesus. I don't know how many days earlier, but sometimes earlier, two chapters earlier in the Bible, Jesus already fed the 5,000. It wasn't that they didn't know. They didn't forget the events. They had just forgotten the importance of the event of Jesus feeding the 5,000. What are we going to do in this desolate place? Where are we going to find the food? And here it is. There's no bread. And Jesus says, no problem. Because He is the bread of life. Our limited resources, again and again, they will fail us. But Jesus has all resources, and He is able to meet a need. Now, there are some differences here in this text than in the 5,000. In the 5,000, he's feeding a Jewish people. Here He's feeding a Gentile people. Here's the inclusion not only of the Jews but the Gentiles. There are similarities and differences here. But the feeding here is the representation that Jesus is our true resource. You see, we need to look to Jesus continually because Jesus is looking out for us. No bread, no problem for Jesus. It may be a problem for you. But cast your heart and your care upon the one who will have compassion for you. So here's the problem for the disciples, isn't it? They can only see the can't, but Jesus sees the can. They can only see the problem, but Jesus is the answer. And that's what He wants to expose His disciples. I mean, it's a feeding of the 4,000. But because Jesus is always working on everybody in the area, everybody in the room, it really is a story about Jesus conforming His disciples to His image, which means they must remember. They must remember. They must remember again and again and again. It's so easy to forget, isn't it? It's so easy for us to get up, caught up in our can'ts that we fail to see Jesus' cans. It's so easy for us to get stuck with this myopic vision that focuses so narrowly that we don't see the broader picture where Jesus is at work. We forget. We can take Him for granted. I mean, Jesus, what are you going to do? The last 4 days, my wife has been in North Carolina. She's not here this morning. She's having a good time with some friends. It was her Christmas present. And I'm glad she's having a good time. But, you know, we're suffering back here in Texas. I want to tell you, it's taken a small army to take care of my family while my wife has been gone. Now, I love my wife. And 5 days ago, I would have told you I loved her too. But I forget all the time, all the things she does so that the Coleman house can stand at the end of the day. And I've had people helping me, and I've had just to do a couple of those things, and I want Marion to come home. I need her. You know, I love her. I don't want to forget her. But day by day, I forget. I take for granted. I fail to remember all she does in loving service for her family. But today I remember. And today I'm reminded. It will be a sweet communion when she returns tomorrow. And I will say, "Thank you, honey." And I'll try to say it more often. But I want to remind you as well, there are places again and again, I'm sure of it, where you fail to see the true limits of Jesus' resources. Your mind is foggy and unclear, and you take Him for granted, or you just forget what Jesus is able to do. You get this spiritual amnesia, this memory loss, and you go your own way. And Jesus may just knock the wind out of your sails so that you will have to turn back and remember. Beloved, remember, see the goodness of God. Look to Jesus, because I promise He's looking out for you this morning. He is a God who is able and will meet you where you are. Turn your hearts towards Him. First this morning, I want you to see Jesus' compassion. Discern Jesus' tender-hearted provision, even for those who have memory failure, who need to be reminded. He reminds His disciples, even in a miracle that blesses so many others. But secondly this morning, I want you to see the need to discern Jesus' true promises. We need to discern His tender-hearted provision, but we need also to discern His true promises. And that was the problem with the likes of the Pharisees and Herod, the most religious and the most irreligious. Where they tend to miss Jesus is where they miss the nature of His true promise. You know, we're always trying to fit Jesus to our agenda, but our lives are to be fit to His agenda. He is the agenda of our lives. And you notice there in verse 11, the Pharisees came and began to argue with Him. That's Jesus. You always lose when you argue with Jesus, by the way. The Pharisees came and began to argue with Him, seeking from Him a sign from heaven to test Him. And He sighed deeply in His spirit and said, "Why does this generation seek a sign? Truly I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation." And He left them and got into the boat again and went to the other side. Now, they had forgotten to bring the bread. That's the disciples. Now, they had forgotten to bring the bread, and they had only one loaf with them in the boat. And He cautioned them, saying, "Watch out. Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod." Notice here, Jesus is speaking here of a reminder of promise. This leaven here, the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod is the leaven of unbelief, the leaven of hypocrisy and hardness of hearts. And you see that in the Pharisees' response. If anybody should have been concerned about Jesus coming, it was the religious leaders of Jesus' day. They were all looking out for Messiah. How could they miss it? Because their hearts were hard. Because Jesus didn't fit their agenda. They were more concerned to have God fit their agenda than to fit God's agenda. And you see that. They come and they're testing Jesus. They're literally, it means they're trying to set a trap. They're trying to catch God in a trap. You can't trap God. And when you try to trap God, you're the one that gets caught in your own trap. Their hearts are hard. See, here's the true concern of the Savior. You know, it's the bold-faced arrogance of no humility, only hostility and hardness towards Him. It's the very essence of unfaith. Unfaith is so confident of itself. What's the big problem for these religious leaders here this morning when they're standing in the very presence of God Himself and missing it? What's their problem? They're way too confident in themselves. They're sure they've got it right and He's got it wrong. They're playing God. And God, Jesus, won't have anything to do with it. You see, the greatest danger for many of us this morning in memory loss is that we come to the place where we think we know more than God does. We come to the place where we think we know better than God does. You ever wrestle with that? Sure, I'm true. I'm sure you don't do it much out loud. I mean, it's not real cool to argue with God out loud. But in your heart, do you ever believe you know more than God or you know better than God? I know you do. I know you plead with Him. And let me tell you, it's good to plead with God. But as you plead with God, don't become hard in heart. Don't forget all that He has done. Rehearse the memory of His goodness. Look in the rearview mirror of life and see all the ways that He has been at work. And plead that way. Don't harden your heart to the Lord. Don't dull, drift, and harden. For if you get caught there, you will miss the very Savior in your midst. We need to see the God who is at work right before us. You see, traditions wrongly applied kill us and our souls. We need a God who will uncover His joy before us so that we can see and honor Him in all that we do. You see, spiritual discernment dissects the hypocrisy of our heart and confronts unbelief. Beware. Beware. It's what Jesus says to the disciples here. Notice, watch out. Beware of the leaven. A little unbelief goes a long way. Day by day, you've got to confront unbelief in your heart. You've got to say, there is someone bigger than my unbelief. I've got to trust the Lord. There are ways, there are events, there are people who will come into your life who will confront faith in Jesus. And you must confront that unbelief with faith and trust in Jesus. It's actually the warning that Jesus is bringing to His disciples again. Notice here, they've got one loaf, and He is the bread of life. And He's trying to remind them of this true promise that He is their resource. He is their provision. You see, that was what was the problem with the likes of Herod and the likes of Pharisee. They had a system that they could depend on. And I need to remind you this morning that Christianity is more than a system that you can depend on. It's not just a good attendance pin at church. It's not just a list of do's and don'ts. It's the promise of relationship. The Pharisees, they had those things down. They knew the do's and don'ts. And they weren't enough, so they made more lists on top of it so they could have more do's and don'ts. And they knew the system, and they were righteous in it. They believed they did it better than you could do it. And they missed Jesus altogether. Because Jesus says they didn't believe. The heart of who we are is the heart of belief that trusts in the true promises of the Savior. Beware, beware of the leaven. Why? Because the bread of life is in your midst. Notice there, as we move on to point three, discerning Jesus' timeless purposes. Notice there in verse 15, and He cautioned them, saying, watch out, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the leaven of Herod. And they began discussing with one another the fact that they had no bread. And Jesus, I think a little perturbed here. And Jesus, aware of this, said to them, why are you discussing the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive or understand? See, it's a memory loss problem He's confronting here. Don't you get it? Are your hearts hardened? Having eyes, do you not see? And having ears, do you not hear? Very interesting, by the way. The Pharisees got no signs. The disciples had plenty of signs. They had just seen the deaf mute healed. They're just about, the next text, they're just about to see the blind man healed. And yet spiritually, Jesus is confronting them. You got ears, you got eyes, don't you get it? Notice there in verse 19. And when I broke the five loaves, the 5,000, how many baskets full of broken pieces did you take up? And they said to Him, 12. And the 7 for the 4,000? I mean, He's just done that. And they had just picked it up. How many basketfuls of broken pieces did you fill up? And they said to Him, 7. And He said to them, do you not understand? I mean, you know what Jesus is doing here? It's like a boxer who's setting them up. You know, it's 7 quick jabs. And then comes the uppercut. Don't you get it? But He's saying that because He wants them to get it. They need the timeless purposes of God. They need to remember again and again, He wants to crush the hardness of their hearts and make it malleable. He wants them to see that He is at work so that they won't be groping in the dark. You know, spiritual contentment is full of God's grace, but you can't be full of contentment and full of anxiety at the same time. And here are these disciples, they're full of anxiety, right? I mean, they're a little worried Jesus is going to get upset with them. They're a little upset with each other. Somebody forgot to pack the picnic basket. I mean, you can do the math, can't you? They got into the boat to go to the other side. They need a little food and they got one loaf. There's at least 13 men. You can understand their anxiety, right? I mean, I got 5 kids and 2 loaves are gone in moments. 13 men, 1 loaf. I mean, you can at least understand a little bit of their anxiety. But Jesus is concerned that they've missed the point. I mean, you can do the math, right? Feeding 4,000, feeding 13. It ain't so hard for Jesus. It may be difficult for them, but He's the provision of their true need. Jesus is their resource. They have missed the big point. And so Jesus comes in like a prize fighter. Jab, 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 and lays them out. Because they need their memory exhorted. Forget not all His benefits. Remember that your God cares. Do you understand the gospel at its heart necessitates understanding that Jesus is our true resource? You know, in the NBA right now, Jeremy Lin is the flavor of the month. Some of you guys won't care about NBA, but there's a guy who has just come up. He was just pulled up for the New York Knicks. He came out of college undrafted. Matter of fact, he went into college without a basketball scholarship, played for Harvard. He had a storied career at Harvard. He had great hopes of playing pro basketball, and he got a tryout with his home team, with the Golden State Warriors, and they kept bringing him up and sending him down. He was there about a year, and then they put him on waivers, and the Houston Rockets picked him up for a couple of months. And they let him go, put him on waivers. And so just a few weeks ago, the New York Knicks picked up this Jeremy Lin. He's an Asian-American athlete, 6'3", on the smallest side for the NBA. But he is lighting it up. In 4 games, 109 points and dozens of assists. He is the toast of Manhattan and all of New York. And he's wearing it out. Everybody's talking about it. He's the flavor of the month, as it were, for the NBA. Very interesting. A year or so ago, an article was written about him and his faith in Christ, asking him about an NBA and his desire to go to the NBA. And in one of his answers, Jeremy Lin said this: "When you're called to be a Christian, you're automatically called to be different from everyone else. In today's world of basketball, it makes you really different because the things that society values aren't the things that are in line with what God values. Much of it comes down to humility. We as Christians are called to be humble. And if we really understand the gospel, we will be humble. We should be humble. And understand that everything that is good comes from God. We as Christians are called to be humble. And if we really understand the gospel, we will be humble," he says. "And understanding that God is good is the answer." The great desire of his heart to play in the NBA. He's got a moment of fame. Do I know what's going to happen with Jeremy Lin? I have no idea. And actually, I'm cautious about naming the big events of big athletes because we put them up front. But the thing that caught me was, here was one who realizes that at the heart of the gospel is the heart of difference, the heart of memory. As a matter of fact, in the article, he goes on to say, It's all a gift of God. I'm just going to follow in His gifts. You know, whatever God calls you to do, it's all a gift of God. Whatever God lays out for you in the classroom or in the home or in the workplace or in the arena before thousands, it's all a gift of God. Whatever opportunities are before you, your only call is to be faithful and to remember the One who has put you there and to live by His grace. See, Jesus is our true resource, the answer to our true need. Godliness is following and cultivating memory. Don't be a forgetter. Don't be a forgetter. Now, in saying that, I just doomed you. Right? I just doomed you to failure. When I told you to not be a forgetter, you're going to walk out and sometime today, you're going to have a heart struggle and all of a sudden you're going to remember, I forgot. But that's exactly where I want to put you. I want to doom you to failure because I don't want you looking at your successes. I want you looking at the successes of your Savior. Remember His goodness. He's put you where you are. Humbly receive it and walk forward with Jesus. Look out for Jesus. I promise He's looking out for you. I've doomed you to failure when I tell you not to forget. But I need that in your lives. You need that in your life. God wants that in your life. When you fail, remember. Remember all He's done. Because while I've doomed you to failure, I want you to know that your true delight will be that when you remember, you have a place to turn. See, here's the great gift of Christianity. The answer to failure is not hiding it. The answer to failure is acknowledging it and remembering the goodness of God in your place. Your job, faith, and repentance. And Jesus will apply His righteousness for yours. The gospel reminds us that while we're doomed to forget, we are destined to succeed. When we seek Jesus, when we look to Jesus, because He's looking out for us. I just want to remind you one simple thing this morning. If you're a disciple of Christ, God has you. God will hold you. He will turn you to Himself. Don't forget, He's good. If you're in the need of Christ this day, you're going to struggle with forgetting one day too. And you may walk out of here and forget the very things I'm saying. But for all of us this morning, look to Jesus because He's the One who looks out for you. Hold fast to the Savior. He'll hold fast to you. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, our only resource is out of the bounty of Your grace. All our benefits are from Your righteous right hand. And all goodness You give. There are those of us who question who You are. Father, help us in those questions. Answer our queries. And there are those of us who just forget. Father, we don't always mean to, but we're so caught up in ourselves like the disciples, we just forget. Turn our hearts towards You. That we might see, and in seeing, believe, and in believing, find contentment for our soul this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.